Hey, welcome back here to wrap up KER Politics. You know, in the last segment, we talk about where our information comes from regarding the situation in Ukraine. We talked about some other things, but we did not talk at all about the Russian loss of life that has happened in the Ukraine. Admittedly, the Ukraine has had a tremendous loss of life also, but they are much more effective, I would have to say, at this moment in time. And I think they're way ahead of the Russians in that area. Jimmy, what do you think?
So the defense always has the advantage when it comes to losses. On offense, you're going to lose more, and you have to plan for that. But the numbers that the Russian forces are losing, and this, you know, this is a combination of UK intelligence, US intelligence, NATO intelligence, as well as Ukrainian reporting. The numbers are crazy. You know, over 3,000 Russian tanks, 2,000 pieces of artillery, over 200 air defense systems, 280 aircraft, over 270 helicopters, almost 2,000 drones. These are huge numbers, but really the loss of life is staggering. And of course, in the last, just this last week, there was attack on a reception barracks that Ukrainians used the U.S. HIMARS on, and of course it killed, you know, somewhere between 70. The Russian Ministry of Defense is claiming at around 80 or 85, but you know other sources are saying it's much higher.
Yeah,
and it's very difficult to judge any Ukrainian or Russian numbers. That's a reality, because they're going to be shifted to a certain, you know, skewed to a particular objective, right? And a propaganda objective. But at the same time, the Ukrainians have a lot of other observers in their from NATO, and so the accuracy of their numbers and the requirements to meet NATO standards and to be able to backfill the stuff, it's a little bit more difficult for them to cover up their numbers, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I have to say one thing, though. I did watch an interview with Judge Andrew Napolitano, and I believe it's Colonel McGregor, is his name. And McGregor, who really has been hands-on in a lot of situations there, has said that the Russians right now are really underestimated by the rest of the world. So,
well, here's the problem with McGregor. Yeah. McGregor, from the beginning of this thing, he said immediately the Russians would have it in 72 hours. McGregor said that the Russians were going to have a massive offensive in the spring, that they were going to lose it. Everything that McGregor has said has been off. I've seen him. I've watched him. He's inaccurate. He's hyped up things. So I don't trust anything he says.
Okay. I'm surprised that somebody of the stature of Napolitano, you know, considers him to be a real source. But anyway, there's a million real sources in the world. Let's talk about not a real source, something that's going on right now in Washington, D.C. They have been fighting back and forth about the Speaker of the House, and Jeffries continues to be the fly in the ointment when it comes to that election. McCarthy just really can't get anywhere. And I would have to say that shows a lack of organization on the part of McCarthy. He should have had it wrapped up before this whole thing even started in terms of support. I would guess that Nancy Pelosi, if she were in Kevin's position, would probably have had the election wrapped up because of her ability to organize. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I agree. She clearly was able to do that the last couple of times that she ran for House Speaker, and she was very prepared for this. Now, Jeffries is really not the problem, because we knew the Democrats would support him.
Yeah.
The problem is the roughly 20 Republicans that have tried to make a stand in a statement saying that McCarthy is not the guy.
Right.
What they're doing is using their power to leverage against McCarthy to negotiate policies and principles and positions on committees,
right,
to ensure that they're respected. and to ensure that that McCarthy doesn't fall back on the typical Rhino Washington D.C. Republican surrender caucus policies. And so his challenge, and I agree with you 100% here, Al, he has failed miserably in two ways. One, to get these people on board. That's one failure. The second failure is he has failed to control the voices of his own party that support him. People like Dan Crenshaw, from a Republican from Texas, who, you know, former Navy SEAL, who is bashing these Republicans and calling them terrorists openly and attacking people that are saying, hey, what's going on? That is something that should not be happening, attacking their own members. These 20, roughly 20 Republicans that have been voting against McCarthy are using the tools they have in order to try to help and benefit their positions and their constituents, what they were elected to do.
Yeah, well, they're really, really messing things up. There's no question about that, because I believe what the average man on the street thinks, and I've had some personal conversations with some of my neighbors about this, and they are all dead set right now against the Republican Party because they view what's happening in D.C. right now as being a total lack of leadership and a total lack of organization. That's a tough one, Jimmy.
Well, some of those people in our neighborhood back in Washington, it wouldn't matter what the Republicans are doing. They don't like them. The people that are conservative that like the Republicans have been frustrated for a long time with Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy.
Correct.
The failure in the 2020 election, the failure in the 2022 election. Ron McDaniel right now is polling at about 8% or less than 8% positivity rating, according to Trafalgar polling within Republicans, and she's the RNC chair. They are tired of being taken advantage of. Republicans and conservatives are tired of being taken advantage of. And then the negotiations on basic principles that the Democrats have succeeded in pushing Republicans to compromise on.
Yeah.
That's the frustration level. And that's really what these 20 Republicans are pushing against, back against. They're trying to make a statement. Whether they'll succeed, I don't know. I think it's too early to tell, because even if McCarthy goes over the top, his failure to manage these people does not put him in a good, strong position as a House Majority Leader and the Speaker of the House.
I agree. I agree 100%. You know, it's funny, but if you're going to compare Kevin McCarthy to Nancy Pelosi, and you have to say, I mean, I know that a lot of my friends, and probably the majority of the audience on this side, on the show, is anti-Nancy Pelosi, but I have to say one thing. She was a tremendously effective organizer. Any comments?
I think the party, the Democratic Party, they're the fall in line party. That there's a lot of people within the party that really didn't, on the Democrat side, that don't like Nancy Pelosi, didn't like her leadership, but she had enough power to control them. The AOCs, the Ilhan Omars, there's a number of people that were very anti-Nancy Pelosi, but they were kept in line because of the power she wielded and the political influence she had. McCarthy has failed to do that. So clearly Pelosi had the advantage there because she understood how the system worked much more effectively than others. The problem is, was it better for the United States? No. Was it better for her progressive politics? Absolutely. The question is getting the American people to wake up to what all is going on behind the scenes. And once again, I'm happy to see this because it really does show the problems that exist behind the scenes in Washington. Yeah. And the people will be able to hopefully make decisions in the future that could make a difference. But the unfortunate part about it is the corruption is so deep right now, it's very difficult to overcome.
Well, it's a real problem. There's no question about that. We're almost out of time here, so I'm going to wrap this up by saying it's really unfortunate. The disorganization of Kevin McCarthy is very, very unfortunate, but it is what it is. So if something happens, we'll have an update on that today, although I agree with Jimmy, I don't think it will. Have a good week, you guys.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.